cousin. Welcome to Coco Conjure. Here we talk about all things hoodoo, folklore, and spiritual journeys. My goal is to give foundation to the novice and inspiration to the advanced practitioner. If you haven't guessed already, my name is Coco. Season 3 of the podcast is upon us. Thank you for everyone who stuck it out with me during that hiatus. I appreciate you. If this is your first time here, I beg you to go back and listen to episode 1 of season 1, Too Long Didn't Read. In that episode, I talk a bit about how I stumbled into hoodoo after depression and like a decade-long faith crisis. And perhaps, unlike other practitioners you'll find out there, I will never claim to be your one-stop shop for spiritual greatness. I will never tell you I have all the answers to all your problems with this 8-step ritual spell and a 16-course hoodoo 101, thing you can pay me for. I'm never going to do that. I'm just like you, trying to get over, under, and through in this thing we call life. And I just want to share my experiences with you and share my love of folklore and of the spiritual, the occult practices and the Black American community. That's all I want to do. So for season 3, I've got some interesting and some pretty fun things in store for us, including some original stories, some more meditations, and a big focus on foundational practices that will hopefully get us through like the first half of this year. Because cousin, I don't know if you've noticed, but the United States is entering its fuck around and find out fallout of our previous election. And honestly, we could all use some spiritual reminders and guards in place before we all get swept up in the tomfoolery that is already unfolding. Okay. But before we get there, I thought I would just talk to you guys a bit. Normally I do spiritual chats on the 5th Sunday of every month, but I'm cheating and I can do that because it's my podcast and I make the rules. So the last time we spoke before meditation, just I think it was in Mojo Working episode, I was telling you that I was taking a break because I had to go into recovery for a while because of some health things I was going through. And honestly, when I listened back to that portion of the previous episode, my first thought was, damn, Coco, you sound dramatic as hell. Just dramatic. Seriously, though, I just wanted to share with you all this leg of my physical, personal journey and how that ties in with me spiritually. So in January of 2024, let's throw our minds back to then. What did Sophia say on the Golden Girls? Picture it. The United States, January 2024. At the end of my open road ritual that I do annually, I set 3 goals for myself. The first goal of 2024 was to start a podcast and be consistent. I have to say, I think I did a pretty good job at that. My second goal of 2024 was to get my own place and furnish it before the end of the year. And I did that, most certainly. And lastly, my third goal for 2024 was to take my weight loss journey seriously. The first two were choices that I wanted for myself, that just kind of came to me during the open road and a little bit more before that, talking to my sister and talking to my nephew and, you know, really just kind of figuring out where I wanted to be in my life at the age of 35. And that last one, though, the taking my weight loss journey seriously, that is something I wanted to do and honestly should have done for such a long, long time. And I was able to do so only because I got a new job with better insurance. And I was spiritually in a place that I was like driven to do better for myself, to be better to myself, to do things, to do right by myself, you know, like all my blessings had aligned and I was no longer spiritually weighed down. So yeah, I got the podcast mic and I told my money bull that we're going to need at least $3,000 to $5,000 for a successful move. And begrudgingly, with many tears in my eyes, I got on the scale. That scale was dusty as shit because I got to tell you, I hadn't used it in like 2 years. The money and the mic were easier to deal with, honestly, because when I stepped on the scale, I cried. I cried really hard because the number blinking back at me was a legit 400 pounds even. 400 pounds. And as soon as I stood on that scale and I saw that number, I had to ask myself, like, how did I do this to myself? I mean, I know how it happened. Food tastes good. And for the majority of my life, I was eating my feelings and burying, you know, long past traumas that I was refusing to let go in sweet potato pie and fried chicken. Like, I know how I got there. But like, honestly, how did I let this happen to myself? It boggled my mind and it shook me. It really shook me to my core to see 400 pounds on the scale. I should say that I have been fat all my life. It's like legitimately, I do not remember a time when I was not fat, when I wasn't on some sort of diet or sweating with the oldies with Richard Simmons or popping in a VHS tape of a leotard clad Jane Fonda or punching it out in some Thai bow with Billy Blanks. Like, I don't remember a time when that wasn't the case for me. And, you know, each time I started that Atkins diet, I would lose a little bit of weight and then gain a whole lot back. So, you know, stepping on a scale and crying is like breathing oxygen for me. That's why I hadn't touched it in like 2 years, right? But still, like, 400 is a crazy ass number. And I could feel all 400 pounds in my body. I could feel it in the fluid in my joints. I could feel it in my lower back when it tightened. I could even feel it when someone like picked up something for me because I couldn't bend over, or drove around the parking lot so they could park closer to the store entrance, so because they knew I couldn't make it to the door. Like, that 400 wasn't just on my body. It was hindering my daily life. And that's when I decided, like, I need to take some drastic measures. I need to really look into like weight loss surgery. And weight loss surgery had come up over and over again, especially when I hit my 20s and I was an adult enough to make decisions. But for whatever reason, someone would say something to me like, oh, you got to lose all this weight before you have surgery. And then, you know, I'm like, oh, you're right. So what's the point? Right. Or I would just get discouraged, you know, when I had the option all those 15 years ago. But now I was like, I think I need to do this for myself. I think this is the course of action I need to take. So like the decision was easy to make, but the steps were harder. So like for years prior, you know, I cleared out all that spiritual gunk. I got into the occult space and in an effort to, you know, just heal my soul, I started to take a spiritual practice very seriously. And the symptoms of my soul's pain were all over my life, right? I couldn't sleep. Stupid stuff made me anxious. I felt like none of this was worth it. And I had to build myself back up. And that took hella years to do. And if I'm being honest, my mom still has to tell me to stand still, take stock of a situation, and just like remember that I'm blessed and that I come from a line of blessed women. But you know, that spiritual awakening, it really did something for me. So now that I'm on the other side of it, now that I've worked through the internal spiritual soul stealing traumas that I was going through, I had to realize that what I was doing to my body was also a symptom of that. Like I was taking out my distress on my body. So I needed that spiritual awakening, and I needed that time to just kind of heal myself spiritually before I could jump into things, before I could really get the most out of this go round of losing weight. Of, you know, they say that when you go through trauma and you go through life, just life in general, really, your body keeps the score, you know? So if I wanted to take a couple points off the scoreboard on my body, I had to not just come to this decision, but I had to do all those things prior. I had to get my spirit, you know, together before I could do it. Okay, so it's still a thing. Like I still need to maintain spiritual balance as much as you can be balanced. Like we all, you know, we're all going through stuff, right? So, but I got to maintain that as much as I can. And I decided to join a bariatric support group. Bariatric is the type of surgery I'm getting. So I joined a bariatric weight loss support group. And in this support group, we're talking about how to heal from what we did to our bodies and what steps we take to make sure we keep the weight off, you know, besides just eat less and move more. Like, yes, I was fat because I ate a lot and food tastes good. And I sat down on the couch and I watched, you know, Designing Women. But also, I was eating my feelings, and I need to work through that. So that way I don't undo all the good things I've done for myself. Like I don't slide back into bad habits. And in this group, we are reading this book called Eat It Up and Thriving. It's by Connie Stapleton. Y'all know I love me a good book. I will always read a book. And in it, she talks about facing your truths and approaching weight loss as a mind, body, spirit process. So, you know, I'm digging into it because this is I'm all about the mind, body, spirit part. Like, let's go. Right. There was only one part of the book so far that's caught me off guard, and it's in her section on a person's spiritual center. She said, obesity drastically interferes with the ability to remain in tune with God or your higher power. She goes on to say, most people who believe in God believe that we were created in his or her or its image. Most people conceptualize the image of God as representing unconditional love, goodness, joy, and beauty. If you believe that you were created in the image of God and therefore represent unconditional love, goodness, joy, and beauty, there is no room for low self-esteem and abusive self-talk. Cousin, that had me thinking. Now, most times people will say that the body is a temple and gluttony is a sin. So to be fat, to have a body that is not of optimal performance and a body that you've altered from its original form, be it a tattoo or just gender affirming surgery, any of that is just not of God. Period. Full stop. But that's not what Stapleton is saying in this book, right? What she's saying is that whatever led you to eat and the burdens obese people carry, such as low self-esteem and abusive self-talk, she goes on further to even talk about jealousy, right? Jealous of that slim, thick Insta model, you know, with millions of followers because all she's got to do is show a little, you know, little cake, right? Or jealous of that friend that you have that can wear anything and make it look good. Like none of that is of God. Not the body, but the things that led to eating. None of that is of God. The things that led to that, you know, are fallout from overeating, that's not of God either. And because of that, we must get back in tune with God or your chosen higher power. And as a stepping stone to healing, you know, while we're losing weight, we have to constantly seek that spiritual balance. And I really thought that was a profound way of looking at, you know, the mind, body, spirit connection, you know, the idea that you are not working in tune with your higher self, with your higher power, not because it's a sin to be fat or it's a sin to overeat or it's a sin to have greed, right? Not that, but because what leads to it and the fallout of it is just not in tune with living your best life, with that love, that, you know, goodness, that joy, that beauty. The fallout of it is not in tune with that. There is only one issue for me with this way of looking at it. Longtime listeners would say, yeah, Coco, I know exactly what your issue is. It's the God thing, because religion and the Abrahamic God is not really your jam. We get it. We get it. And you aren't wrong, but that's not what made me pause. What made me pause was, and this is not a brag, this is going to be so crazy to say, but cousin, no one has ever accused me of having low self-esteem. Just like in the same book, Stapleton also talks about how being fat or obese has stopped people from like living their life because of the way they look and feel in their bodies. Like the shame, I should say, the shame of being a fat person and being judged when you go out stops people from living. And yeah, cousin, I've been fat shamed, child. The first time I posted on TikTok, I want to say like the first 16 responses was, you need to lose weight. I can tell you never played a sport as a child. Like, I mean, it did. I could have just been reciting the ABCs and the internet was going to let me know I was fat. Okay. And like, I've seen it. I know it's common for plus size people, for big people to, you know, have that shame float over their head, right? People get fat shamed all the time, especially when you're walking around with a 400 plus, you know, pound body. People will stop and stare at you. And yes, I've had comments in real life, not just online, but in real life that are like, oh my God, you are so beautiful as a pregnant woman. When is your due date? And then I got to stop and be like, oh no, I'm not pregnant. I'm just fat. And then watch, you know, their face turn red and try to run in the other direction, you know? Or like a masseuse told me once, baby, there's nothing we can do about your figure. That's just a fact of life. So let's focus on having a flawless face. I have an esthetician friend that could really help, you know, give you that glass skin, because you are, in fact, a beautiful big woman. And we just got to draw attention to your face. Yeah, that shit hurt. It hurt like hell. But it's never made me shy away from living my life, right? Like, if you invite me out to a party, I'm there. I'm on a cruise and it's time for game show night, I'm a contestant. Need someone to get in front of other people to speak about root work, film, romance novels, or any of the other interests I have, I'm there, baby. Let's go. So yeah, I had to go deep in my spirit and ask myself, what does being an obese person, like, what has being an obese person done to my mind? Like, what has it done to stop me or prohibit me? Because my mind is more concerned about a reality that I've constructed for myself. Because let's be fair. Yes, people are staring, but like, it's very rare for someone to say something to me. And if someone's staring at me, I don't know they're in a monologue. Are they staring at me because I'm 400 plus pounds? Or are they staring at me because I'm wearing a neon green shirt? Or are they staring at me because, like the masseuse said, I'm pretty beautiful. Just, you know, and they got to take it in. I don't know. Right. So like, what tricks have my mind played on me, you know? Because I'm gonna tell you what, low self-esteem ain't it. I don't have that issue. So if you look hard enough, you can probably find pictures of me online. But I do not take a lot of photos of myself. I don't social media the same way other people do. I've always said that I like to be in the moment, right? I like to experience rather than try to preserve the experience. And even now, I'm in a much smaller body now than I was last year, 2024. I still find that to be the truth. Like, it's way more important to me to be in the moment and experiencing it instead of taking photos for the gram. But it's also true that when I see photos that people have taken of me, I absolutely hate it. It's like my mind and my spirit don't recognize the body in the photo, you know? Like, even the mirror is much kinder than the goddamn camera. So yes, I like to enjoy the moment, but also, like, the camera makes me face the lie that my mind was telling me. I mean, I knew I was fat, but the photos and seeing 400 on the scale, they were telling me exactly how fat I was, how far I had let my body go, you know? And that leads me back to why I chose surgery, why I felt determined to get this weight off and to keep it off. I was having a hard time recognizing the person in the photos because my spirit did not match my body. Like, I've cleaned up my spirit and I've set myself on a path of healing and maintenance, and my body could not keep up with me. I go to festivals and I go to meetups and I get there early because I want to park close and scout out seating, because inevitably my back would seize up and movement would become hard. I want to take longer and more fulfilling walks on hiking trails in nature, explore the, you know, the flora and the fauna around me. I want to like immerse myself in nature, and I can't because I couldn't go as far as I wanted to because my lungs and my heart are protesting, you know, after about 10-15 minutes in the trail, right? I want to go to New Orleans Hexfest. I want to see what that's about. I definitely got to make it to Atlanta, to Mystic South, and meet other folk practitioners and enjoy the workshops and listen to, you know, the seminars and advance my spiritual understanding. But I have to purchase 2 plane seats just to travel comfortably, so I wouldn't go. My spirit is ready to fly, but my body is a heavy, heavy stone weighing me down. So yeah, I got on that scale January 2024 and I saw 400 pounds and I said to myself, I don't know how I allowed this self-abuse, but it stops because my spirit is strong and flourishing and my body needs to be able to handle it, right? My body needs to match my spirit. So weight loss surgery it was. My roads are open because, you know, I do that open road at the end of every year going into the next year. My new job let me walk in with more than enough PTO for recovery if I decide to get the surgery. And my new insurance set some parameters, but they did cover the cost of the surgery. And I got to be honest with you, just being in the bariatric program for the last year was a blessing in and of itself. Last year in the summer, I'm talking pre-surgery, I lost enough weight to be able to stand for long periods of time, and my back didn't give me fits anymore. I mean, my stamina was still trash, but if I paced myself, I could do the festival rounds, I could do the seminars, I could put my furniture together when I got to my new place, you know, all that stuff. And by time, you know, December rolls around and my surgeon and his team said I was approved because I could handle a bariatric lifestyle after the surgery and all the, you know, bureaucratic paperwork ducks were in a row, you know, and I had dropped 40 pounds. I was already a different person. Like, just being in the program got me to lose and keep off 40 pounds, got me to experience that taste of life that my spirit was, you know, asking for. And, child, if you know anything about a bariatric surgery, You have to do a liver shrink diet of clear liquids and protein shakes before your surgeon will let you get on the table. Like, it should be like 2 weeks of it. And mine was not 2 weeks. I had to do it for a month because a heifer in my surgeon's office was playing games with my insurance, right? So I had to, instead of 2 weeks of fasting, mine was for a month. This lady decided that even though for a year I got the cardiologist to sign off, I got my PCP to sign off, I did all the how to eat classes, like I did all the stuff. I knocked off everything on my check. I got a sleep apnea machine, a CPAP machine. Like, I checked all the stuff off the list, even though she had a stack, a full dossier on me to send to the insurance company. She decided all she needed to do was send my name, the surgeon's name, and a please and thank you note. And that somehow that would magically approve my pre-authorization for surgery. And of course, 2 days before my actual surgery date, you know, my sisters flew in, my nephews are taking time off, you know, everybody on my team, my whole support group, we're all ready for this. 2 days before my surgery, my claim was denied. But, you know, once she realized she had to send over more than just my name and a pretty please, and realized I was going to call and ride her every day until she did her job. She did her job, and my insurance didn't give us any troubles after that. But by then, I'm now a month deep. So I had to do that fast for a month. And I will say I had a full breakdown. I had a full breakdown when I saw that denial come over, because we're talking for a year and the entirety of 2024, for the entire time that you've known me. Right. I have been working towards this surgery. I had blood. I had sweat. I had tears. I had spiritual work invested in getting to this point, you know, of losing weight, keeping it off, getting a tool to help me. I put in the work, and I had to train my mind to be more disciplined around food. And I had to say no to dessert and say yes to weightlifting at 6:30 in the morning. And I spent my nights around a candle, sipping bone broth and, you know, the broth off my greens and neck bones, asking the spirit of life to fill me up and telling the spirit of death to take what's hindering me, all for this lady to just fumble the ball on the 1 yard line. Yeah. On the plus side, by time I was on my surgeon's table, I was 60 pounds down. Okay. And the smaller you are, the better your surgeon can see what's going on in there. So, in retrospect, I'm going to count it as a blessing, but in the minute, in the moment of the whole thing, I had a full breakdown. I couldn't handle it. But yeah, I did get the surgery. The surgery I got is called a Roux-en-Y bypass. Basically, they stick 6 holes in me and gave me a really small stomach pouch and reorganized my intestines so the food would bypass the larger stomach pouch that's still left in my body. Some people get what's called the gastric sleeve, and they have like 60% or more of their stomach straight up removed from their body. But my surgeon looked at all my issues and decided that the bypass would probably be best for me. And child, I am grateful. We're going to call that another blessing on my open road, because a lot of the people I know who did get the sleeve and got their stomach removed were in some rough shape after surgery. And I know at least one of them who had to go back and get the Roux-en-Y bypass even after they got the gastric sleeve, because they needed to do some correcting of the damage that was done to their little sleeve pouch stomach. So I am blessed in that way as well. But yeah, I'm recovering well. I still have a ways to go. As of recording, I am a week and a half post-op. I've lost another 10 pounds in just that week and a half. Basically, that puts me at 70 pounds down from a year ago this time. And that means that after surgery, I've lost about 1 pound a day. Now, if I can stay somewhere close to that in the months to come, I'll be very happy. But it is very wild to me because last year it took me 2.5 months to lose 10 pounds. And the following month I gained back 4. So, right. But I will say that my mind is determined to stay on track and to let my new tool do its job. I don't think I can see 400 pounds again. I don't think I can feel 400 pounds again. And I don't think I need to look like 110 pounds either. Like, which... I say that because 110 to 150 is the actual suggested weight for my height. I'm a very short. I barely make 5'2". but to be honest, I need a sturdy temple for my spirit. That's what I want. You know, that's what I need. I don't need to be thin. I need to be strong. I need to be capable. And so far, the bariatric program is really doing it for me, and I'm seeing, not just seeing the results, but it's staying off. If you are struggling with your weight as well, I have to tell you that losing weight is a mind, body, spirit game. We are at the start of the year and everyone has on their resolution list to lose weight, gain muscle, whatever. And if you want to see traction with or without the aid of weight loss drugs or weight loss surgery, you have to have your mind and spirit in tune with each other, right? In your spirit, you have to carry your why. Why do you need to do this? For me, it was to live in my chosen purpose. I say chosen purpose because in my cosmology, the spirit of life, you can call it God if you want to. They don't owe you anything. Millions of years of chaos produced you, produced me, produced the world we live on. And that's all the spirit of life had to do was to spark life. Keep life doing life stuff, right? It's up to us to decide what we do with our time on this planet. And when you make that choice, when you awaken spiritually to that purpose, you got to hold on to it at your spirit center and you can't let it go. You have to confront your body as it is too, and understand where you want to be and where you are now. I gotta tell you, Black folks, our cultural foods and customs and showing love through food, it opens the door to high blood pressure and diabetes and obesity and all the slew of problems that come with obesity. We got to acknowledge this. that doesn't mean that it's bad. It doesn't mean that our customs are wrong. I happen to enjoy our customs. I happen to enjoy, being Black. And all the stuff that comes with it. It just means that, the ancestors get an extra helping of Aunt Beulah's pecan pie because we can't put it in our mouths every time. And, we're going to get some smoked turkey wings instead of the pork fat to add to the veggies. we got to start making better choices, and we have to confront that, in our life, that not all of us are built to be able to withstand things that are just cultural norms. Out of all of it though, spirit, body, the killer is the mind. That heifer will play all the tricks on you. It'll tell you that, getting into the car and going to the gym is only for the month of January. That Black people, we're meant to be fat and these scales aren't for us, even though the scale says 285. And even though you can feel all 285 in your knees, and even though you stop breathing at night, we ain't meant to be thin. We ain't, those numbers are for the white folks. The mind will tell you, that it's a family reunion. It's Christmas. The calories don't count. The mind will tell you you look fantastic until you get them pictures back from Easter Sunday and you wonder why no one told you you look like Barney the dinosaur in that purple suit, right? Like, the mind will play all the tricks on you. And I gotta, we gotta stand firm. We gotta get the mind in line, right? We gotta train our mind to see the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is that, those numbers on the scale, height, no Black person was taken into account. No person of color, period, was taken into account when they said that if you're 5'2", you should be 110 pounds. However, there are plenty of 5'2 people who are Black who are also 110 and 150 pounds, right? Like, you aren't supposed to be 285, 300, 350. Like, we're not supposed to be that, right? So, yes, we culturally enjoy a little thickness. And I look forward to just being a little thick and not just completely round. But the fact is that we're not supposed to be that heavy. Like, as people on earth, you're not supposed to carry that kind of weight. I digress. What was I talking about? The mind. Right. So I wish I could say that I trained my mind. Even now, a year out, 70 pounds down, I can't tell you that I have my mind completely trained. I can tell you that I've just made things easier for myself. So that way, when my mind has an argument, I have a counter argument, right? The biggest one for me is going to the gym. I hate it. I hate it with a passion. I hate having to figure out where it fits in my day. Cause like, you know, I work a 9-to-5 and I work from home. So now I got to get out of my pajamas. I got to get in the car. It's cold outside. The closest gym is like 30 minutes away. Like, I ain't trying to do none of that. And then like, it's not even the spring equinox yet. So like, it's still dark by like 5:30, 6 o'clock. And as a 35-year-old woman, the urge to just sit in my house with a charcuterie board and a glass of wine once the sun goes down is very strong. And you want to know where I don't want to be when the street lights come on? I don't want to be in the gym. So I got a walking pad. I got some weights. I found some very nice looking guys on YouTube who were sexy and shirtless and will record themselves doing a HIIT workout. So when I wake up and it's workout day, I have no excuse. The walking pad is plugged in and my iPad has a movie queued up. You know, I will follow this Insta Fitness Gym Bros workout and get some eye candy to start my day. Like, that's not a bad thing. Will I be crazy ripped? No, I will not. Do I need to leave my home 45 times a week and go to a place I hate and come home in the dark and the cold? Also, no. And at 70 pounds down, I'm going to take my way as a win. Oh, my goodness. I also have to prepare meals because my mind will have me doing some crazy stuff before I can even think about it. And on days when I don't have my meals like prepped out, I have to meal plan. Like, I have to say to myself, now I don't, but before I had to say, you're going to eat here and you're going to get this, right? Because if I go on a whim, there's a high likelihood that I'll stop at a McDonald's, right? I mean, I don't think that'll happen to me now because of the Roux-en-Y bypass surgery. I'm pretty sure that if I tried to eat 2 cheeseburgers and a medium fry with a sweet tea, I would just throw it back up. Like, I would just be sick. But before, I needed to know that, you know, okay, don't go to the McDonald's. You're going to go to the Chipotle. You're going to get the chicken burrito bowl as a salad, but without the dressing. You're going to have no rice. You're either going to get sour cream or guac, but you're not going to get both. You can have all the lettuce. You can have all the salsa. You can have all the vegetables, you know, and you need to plan to only eat 1/3 of it because even though it's high protein, you know, low carb, it's still way too much goddamn food, you know, and you are not in the portion of the weight loss program where we're eating to maintain our weight, to fuel up. We're in that portion where we need to lose weight, right? And if I did not have that conversation with myself, if I did not say it out loud, if I did not tell my mind that we got to stay on track, I promise you, my mind, that heifer, would black out and I would be knee deep in Popeye's spicy thighs and a McFlurry before I could even think about it. Just knee deep. Child, I always do this in spiritual chats. I digressed again. What was I talking about? Mind, body, spirit. So this entire weight loss journey, including my bariatric process, it has taught me that the reason I got to 400 pounds, to answer the question from before, is because my spirit was covered in trauma and gunk and my mind was lying to me while my body suffered. And for the rest of my life, I will always have to check in to make sure that my mind, my body, and my spirit are in tune. Because I'm in it to win it this time. Okay, I'm trying to win at life. And winners do not quit on themselves. All right. So we've entered the portion of the podcast where I find a question from the online forums and I answer it. In an effort to keep today not so long, I'm going to just do one question today. So the question that I found on Facebook, and probably one that you're asking yourself, because this is in fact an occult hoodoo podcast, is, does anyone have a weight loss spell that you can use for yourself, or any ideas what kind of spells or rituals work to encourage weight loss? So at the start of my journey, I tried a bunch of different weight loss spells. The one that sticks into my mind right now is you take a yellow pillar candle, because it's a representation of fat, and you stick it in a sour bowl. So you've got like vinegar and like just sour shit, basically. And you put your name and a petition of what you want, and you put it at the bottom of that sour bowl, and then you burn the candle. And as you burn the candle, you say over the candle, basically, you know, food disgusts me. You know, McDonald's makes me want to hurl. Like you say all the nasty things to the candle in the bowl, right? And then over time, you would no longer get the urge to eat those things. And it did not work for me. That didn't work for me. There's plenty other ones that you can do. I saw one where someone made like a wax, they took a yellow wax figure, put a petition, and burned the candle, did some candle work over it, read a psalm over it, the whole deal. And the idea is that they lose weight. As the candle melts, they melt, right? So it's a sympathetic magic thing. The only thing that worked for me was every morning at my altar, I would cover my hands in holy oil. I would crown myself with power, and I would say out loud, my body is a temple, my mind is a fortress. That's all I would say, right? My body is a temple, my mind is a fortress. That's more of affirmation than a spell, I think. But the whole idea of that is to remind myself that food tastes good, and it's okay to enjoy your food, but it's fuel for your body. It's to keep you strong. And what's more important than eating is maintaining, you know, a good vessel for your spirit. And my mind is a fortress. I do not have to allow the intrusive thoughts to win. Right. So holy oil, and I would cover myself with blessing. I'm sure there are countless other actual, you know, if I dug into it, I might be able to find some old school traditional hoodoo works or new age spells or whatever. But it's a mind body thing, right? So because my mind was not in tune, because my body is broken, my spirit had to do some heavy lifting, and I had to crown myself with power, and I had to say that my body is a temple, my mind is a fortress. I had to say that to myself every morning to help me get through, right? For the last couple of years, my spirit has been leading over my mind and my body. So if that's the case, then let me utilize that, was what I said to myself. And then, of course, for me, I will always say this, those annual open road rituals, baby, they got me through. Things have lined up for me in a way that I see blessing. And it's not a quick thing either. Losing weight, open road work, the crowning yourself with power, saying the affirmation, none of that's quick. It's all going to take a lot of time, and you cannot deviate. You got to stick to it. But that's the works that I did to help myself. Maybe in another podcast, I will dig into the lore, because there is lore. There's folklore. There are spells to make people lose so much weight that they die, to fill people's bellies up with, you know, salamanders and snakes when they drink. Like, there's all sorts of crazy stuff like that in hoodoo and Black American folk magic. So maybe next time I'll dig into that. But for now, yeah, you got to say that. Say that to yourself. Crown yourself with power. Say to yourself, I am blessed. I'm a blessed being. My body is a temple. My mind is a fortress. I am strong. I am not my intrusive thoughts. Okay. You made it to the end. Congrats, cousin. Thank you so much for staying with me for as long as you have. For everyone coming back for season 3, I appreciate you. For everyone who joined while I was on hiatus, thank you for joining, for subscribing on YouTube or on various podcast platforms. I totally appreciate you for doing that. It's very encouraging to keep going. I said before, I really only thought I was going to do like a year of this, but it's so nice to have space. I wouldn't really call it a platform. There's not enough people following me for it to be a platform, but it's nice to have space to speak my truth and to share it with like-minded individuals. And I appreciate you for just joining in on that. You have no idea how much that truly means to me. Before we get out of here, cousin, I want to let you know that you deserve the world. That when we align our mind, our body, and our spirit, when we work on that balance between the three, we become unstoppable. Our magic becomes strong. Our body can hold that magic, and our mind keeps us determined and focused and on path. And when we are aligned like that and we call for our blessings, baby, those blessings come running to us. See you guys next time.